Let's do it. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, oh, oh. Oh yeah. Come on with me. It's a Prime Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rome, rocking top. Get ready to go. We got a conversation today. Building. We're building. There is no better love than for self and kind. No better love. Thank you and welcome. Welcome to the show. There's no better love than for self and kindness. Empowerment Saturday. It's 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Rohn, coming to you live and in color. You know what I mean. And so today we're going to talk about, it'll be open topic, of course. Talk about anything you want. This is your show. We're going to also talk about building the black man, right? Rebuilding the black man. What do we need to do to build the brothers, right? And every sister need a strong brother, and every strong brother need a good sister. No doubt about it. But I think the fabric, it has to be a combination, right? They have to be woven and meshed together really well. And when you're talking about pairing, you got to pair a strong man with a strong woman to build a strong child and a strong community. That's right. It's strong. We long and we strong today. We're going for an hour. It's 365 days. And so let's get into the mission of the National African American Empowerment Association. It is the national. I mean, it's all across this country. African American, that's you and me, because this program is designed specifically for African Americans only. Descendants of slaves and American slaves, but also anybody in the diaspora. That's if you're Jamaican, Haitian, if you're from Barbados, Antigua, you know, people of color, Cuba, doesn't matter. We know who we are. We're all in the same family, and I like to say that we're all one family. Just spread out all over the world, spreading the love. So I hear the tenets of the National African American Empowerment Association. Somebody got to do it, so I'm stepping up. The mission of the National African American Empowerment Association is to ensure, I said it, to ensure that the needs of the African American community are met through the development of programs and services that educate, inspire, motivate, and empower you, the African American, to be the best that he or she can be, period. Now, nothing follows. Nothing follows. The best. Right? How do you become that? I believe there are five ways and more, many, many more. But in this country, if we're going to live and survive here, I say strive for survival. You got to strive for survival. How do you do that? You have to have a political agenda. It's the same thing every week, right? I need somebody to start listening. You have to have a political agenda, understanding politics and how they work, and teaching and training and developing your young people to understand how these political systems work, and period, the systems in the American system, how they work, the economic system, how it works, how to manage, maintain, how to gather, keep, save, organize, and distribute your funds, how to develop businesses and manage and maintain them very well and be astute at business. That's right. We got to do it. Athletics is health, wellness, fitness, and nutrition. I don't just say it to be saying it. You got to take care of yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. You do. That's your job. Take care of yourself. Get out there and walk. Get an exercise routine to take care of your body, your physical fitness, and your health for your life, not just at a certain age and then you stop. It's lifelong. And your mental health as well. You have to preserve your mental health, and I'm going to speak on that in a little while as well. But you have to take care of your mental and emotional health. You just do. That's your job. But also having culture. And culture creates a foundation for us that we can then live and survive and support one another in the cultural ties that we have that bind us, that really speaks to who we are as individuals, that give us pride and confidence in who we are. There's nothing wrong with that. And then a comprehensive education. that comprehensive education speaks to how we're going to conduct ourselves around the world, right? I think we're the shining light. I know it. I know we are, but we're going to have to do a better job of becoming those people that we were born to be.
Man, Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
And Stan is so right. It is the pillars and the tenets of the National African American Empowerment Association, right, that I think we really seriously have to take a look at in terms of how we build ourselves and how we continue to be who we were born to be. It's very, very important that we understand who we are.
But we must unify.
That's what we must do.
And let's not sabotage ourselves. We should not look as to what we can't do. We can do all things. We can. We can do it. And so we got to quit trying to mimic other races and be who we are, original kings and queens, and make a difference.
I like that.
Right here on earth.
Oh, boy, do I like that. That's my Stan Macklin moment in honor of my brother Stan Macklin. He continues to tell us what we need to know. Because until you understand who you are, and until you stop trying to get in and fit in and be your authentic self, love on yourself, become the best person that you could be today and every day, then it works. You will know it'll come to you. All you have to do is find it. I'm moving on to the Willie Lynch segment. I won't be, but just a minute, and then I'm going over to Brother George. We got to understand the basics of the mentor side. That's it. I'll be brief.
The speech was delivered by Willie Lynch on the banks of the James River in the colony of Virginia in 1712. Lynch was a British slave owner in the West Indies. He was invited to the colony of Virginia in 1712 to teach his methods to slave owners there. The term lynching is derived from his last name. Greetings, gentlemen. I greet you here on the bank of the James River in the year of our Lord, 1712. First, I shall thank you, the gentlemen of the colony of Virginia, for bringing me here. I'm here to help you solve some of your problems with slaves. Your invitation reached me on my modest plantation in the West Indies, where I have experimented with some of the newest and still the oldest methods for control of slaves. Ancient Rome would envy us if my program is implemented. As our boat sails south on the James River, named for our illustrious king, whose version of the Bible we cherish, I saw enough to know that your problem is not unique. While Rome used cords of wood as crosses for standing human bodies along its highways in great numbers, you are here using the tree and the rope on occasion. I caught the whiff of a dead slave hanging from a tree a couple miles back. And you're not only losing valuable stock by hangings, you are having uprisings, slaves are running away, your crops are sometimes left in the fields too long for maximum profit, you suffer occasional fires, your animals are killed. Gentlemen, you know what your problems are. I do not have to elaborate. I'm not here to enumerate your problems. I'm here to introduce you to a method of solving them. In my bag here, I have foolproof methods for controlling your black slaves. I guarantee every one of you that if installed correctly, it will control the slaves for at least 400 years. My method is simple. Any member of your family or your overseer can use it. I have outlined a number of differences among slaves, and I take these differences and I make them bigger. I use fear, distrust, and envy for control purposes. These methods have worked on my modest plantation in the West Indies, and it will work throughout the South. Take this simple little list of differences and think about them. On the top of my list is age, but it's there only because it starts with an A. The second is color or shade. There is intelligence, size, sex, sizes of plantations, status on plantations, attitude of owners, whether the slaves live in the valley, on a hill, east, west, north, south, have fine hair, coarse hair, or is tall or short. Now that you have a list of differences, I shall give you an outline of action. But before that, I shall assure you that distrust is stronger than trust, and envy stronger than adulation, respect, or admiration. The black slaves, after receiving this indoctrination, shall carry on and will become self-refueling and self-generating for hundreds of years, maybe thousands. Don't forget.
George.
Yes, sir.
Hey, welcome to the show, man. I'm over here messing up. I do that from time to time.
Thank
I really do. I really do. But
you,
I do want to say that we have to continue to understand what the Willie Lynch theory is all about and have to create ways in which we can continue to work together. I'm going to turn it over to you, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Well, first of all, this week I'm going to go to the Kwanzaa principle for this week, and that's going to be Ujima.
All right.
Collective work and responsibility to build and maintain our community together and make our brothers and sisters' problems our problems and solve them together. I was speaking with you earlier this week, and this falls right in line with what we were talking about earlier. And I quoted something that I learned from Brother Nori Muhammad. And Nori Muhammad said that when you break the word brother down, and within the word brother is the word other. And so actually, for the black man, your brother is your other self. And so, like, when you look at your brother, it's like we all come from the same seed. We come from the same DNA. We're the same people. And so your brother or your sister, we're not talking about sisters right now, but just the relationship with your brother. Your brother is your other self. And we need to really, you know, let that sink in and understand that fully. So I want to move on to Willie Lynch. And basically, you know, Willie Lynch did a lot of things to us. And one of the things that it did to us that was most crucial was it stopped us from believing in each other. And it got us attacking each other, male and female. I mean, you heard the things that the brother said. And so what I try to do is read some information about our past that tries to reassure us of the great accomplishments and contributions that we have made to human civilization. And basically, we just forgot that we did it. So, I'm going to read from the same book I read from last week, because I think this quote is equally as devastating as the other one, as far as what's been left out about us historically. This is from Blacks in Science, Ancient and Modern, and it's edited by Ivor Van Sertima. This particular chapter is on Africa in the mainstream of mathematics history by Beatrice Lumpkin. This is a sister. For thousands of years, Africa was in the mainstream of mathematics history. This history began with the first written numerals of ancient Egypt, a culture whose African origin has been reaffirmed by the most recent discoveries of archaeology. With the large period of scientific work that any other area of the world, progress in mathematics continued on the African continent through three great periods: ancient Egypt, Hellenistic, and the Muslims, which is the Moors. The language changed from Egyptian to Greek to Arabic, but the tradition of African science continued despite change of language. The Renaissance in Europe was triggered by the science and mathematics brought to Spain and Italy by the Moors of North Africa. Although all peoples and continents have played a role in the history of mathematics, the contributions of Africa are still unacknowledged by Western historians. Once again, I really, it's a need for us to teach our children ourselves, because regardless of what is going on right now with the critical race theory, and basically that's a lot of what they're talking about is information about the relationship between African people and European people, and how they have basically stolen our legacy, like George G.M. James said. But they don't want to talk about it in that sense, that a lot of what they know and what they have accomplished actually came from us. They don't want to talk about that, because that's a very difficult topic to talk about after you have disgraced the people and degraded them for so many years, and then turn around and say, no, for real, you know. So, I mean, like, that's going to be a battle for them. That's why I don't like to rely on them to teach our children. We need to do it ourselves. But for right now, brother, that's me, and back to you, Marvin.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. What was the name of that book again?
Blacks in Science, Ancient and Modern. Edited by Dr. Ivan Van Sertima.
All right. Thank you, brother. There it is. Thank you, Brother George. He always give us some good stuff, y'all. He does. Educator. And that's part of the empowerment. African-American empowerment is education. Educating the mind, educating the body, educating the spirit, educating yourself, educating your children. Who gonna do it? You have to. We have to. We got to do the work. Otherwise, where will we be? I think, again, we will continue to fumble around and not walk gracefully and proudly into our future. Like Stan said, we're original kings and queens, and Brother George got it right. The history of mathematics and science and astronomy come from your ancestors, period. There's no discarding that at all whatsoever. All right. We're going over to the lines in just a minute. So let me build on the topic today. We're going to talk about the need for African-American empowerment. But to build on this concept that I'm talking about, we have to be able to build today our men, right? We're going to talk about men. You can talk about anything you want to, but I just want to talk about a few qualities, right? How are we going to continue to build our strong men? We need strong men. Right? We need to rebuild our men. We need to restructure our families. We need to coordinate and organize. Here's a few qualities before we go to the lines. Faithfulness, right? Like Brother George says, Ujima, how do we continue to build ourselves and our community? Here are the qualities: faithfulness, dependability, kindness, his morals, his integrity. Is he patient? Is he caring? And does he desire to be a dad? And those are only just a few qualities. But like Brother George said, brother inside a brother is other, your other self. whether that's your other brother or your other sister, it's still you. And if we can grasp a hold to that philosophy that your other brother is you, right? There is no better love than for self and kind. You got to love you. You got to love your brother. You got to love yourself. And you have to love your community. How do we build strong men? How do we say we're going to stand up, we're going to teach, train, and develop? We're going to reinvest in ourselves, our men and our boys, that we can become strong again. Because we know in this society, black men have been marginalized a great deal. And a lot of our qualities and characteristics come from our enslavement, how we behave. And we have to fix that ourselves. We got to go into the back room and start doing some rebuilding. So it's rebuilding, the need for African-American empowerment. I'm going to the lines now. Of course, I'm starting off with 9282. It's that time, y'all. Here we go. Oh, yeah.
Bring it. What? Right here. We're not going anywhere.
9282. We right here. How are you today? Welcome to the show.
Good, brother. How are you? As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam, my brother. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling fine, brother. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. It's a great topic today, yes. But you, of course, can talk about anything you like.
Yes,
but how do we rebuild a black man to be the pillar, right along with his sister, of a new community for our people? What you got?
Well, first I'm going to tell you that I tested negative again. I got my results back today. And,
all right,
you know,
all right.
All praise to do Allah. We keep moving forward, doing what we're doing. Okay?
That's right. That's right.
And I was around somebody that had full vaccination and came and tested positive, but I didn't get it. Thank God, you know, brother. As always, rebuilding ourselves, and I'm specifically talking about the black man.
Mm-hmm.
We have to start with ourselves, each one of us individually. We've got to focus on what we have to stop focusing on what we don't have. And focus on what we have. Okay? Now, what do we have? I think two of our greatest assets we have, we don't realize we have. That's why we're in the position that we're in. One is our mind. Our mind is our greatest asset. Our greatest asset of all is our mind. And we have to use our mind. We have to look inside of us. Like I said before, inside of me, whatever I call it, whichever language I'm speaking or whatever, but inside of me, my nature, I know what kindness is. I know what loving is. I know what's right is. I know what's wrong is. I know what's good. I know
That's
what's
right.
evil. I know how, as a man, inside of me, how I'm supposed to act, what I stand for, what I like, my word is my bond, what I reflect in me. I know that in me. No one really teaches you that. They may cultivate it, but it's in you. Your nature, what make you who you are, your mind, your greatness is in you. Slavery has killed that now and don't have us believing in ourselves and loving ourselves, but we must focus back on us, inside of us, the greatness that's in us. In other words, as I said, find the God in you. We each must do that. That's how we rebuild our brothers, ourselves. And then the second thing, and we do the first thing, the second thing will become obvious. The second greatest asset we have is each other. Okay?
I like that.
We don't stand alone. We stand together. Okay? That you can't be the one by yourself. We're one. We're the one with each other. That's the greatness in us. That's the greatness in the one. That's what we have to do. And, brother, we better do it quickly because I see a new battle coming. I see a new division coming that's on the way. And, and that division I see very soon, and if you're following along with it, you can see it. We're going to be in a war in a little bit between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. You know, we're starting to say it's those who haven't been vaccinated, it's their fault. that we are now dying from COVID, from the, and those of us who have been vaccinated, the fact, you know, they're so fully vaccinated, because those are the ones catching it now too, and they can even spread it to the ones who've been fully vaccinated. We're starting to say as a people that it's the unvaccinated ones that is causing this. And most of black folk in the country, I heard yesterday, 90% of us are not vaccinated. Okay? So when you're talking about that division becoming, because in a little bit now we get to the point where I may have to get rid of a nigga, because if I don't, he going to kill me because he won't get the vaccination. The vaccination. You know? And that's where it's headed, but how soon we forget. See, we can't blame the unvaccinated for COVID. We got to blame the creator of COVID, whether
all
that's
right
God,
now.
Okay, whether that's God, or whether that's the white man. We got to blame the creator, not the unvaccinated. They didn't create it. They didn't put it out there for us to catch and kill. And if God created it, and if God did it, then we got to be angry with ourselves, because then we got to ask ourselves, what in the hell have we done to so piss off God that God is now sending this plague, this virus, to wipe us out, to take us out, you know? And then all of a sudden, you're also going to give one man the knowledge to come up with a vaccine to help us fight against the plague that God done sent down to mess us up. Makes no sense to me. Oh, now if the white man did it, then we got to blame the white man and say he created this virus that's killing everybody, not the unvaccinated. You know, he did it in his labs and so forth. And so now he's also then telling you to come get the vaccine he done created to keep you from dying from what he done created and given to you. We can't blame, because what's going to happen, we start blaming the unvaccinated, we're going to start cheating our brothers and sisters down. They're going to get to the point where if we go back on lockdown again and all that, brother, and they keep saying it's the unvaccinated. No, it's not the unvaccinated. Blame the ones who created it from the beginning, whether that's God or the white man. Don't come down there and say, no, that's the unvaccinated. It's like we do with slavery. We say, black folk this and this, and we need niggas this and niggas this, and we hate the nigga did this, nigga did this, nigga did, and say, yeah, slavery, but we far removed from slavery, and slavery had nothing to do with what he doing now. Yes, it does. But then we go hate each other, but then we won't hate the man that made you the slave or the nigga. Don't blame the nigger, blame the slave master. Blame the one who made him the nigger. That's what I'm talking about. We got a short memory. We're disconnecting from this reality. You know, we want to throw all the blame. Oh, man, you should go down and get your shot. What? If you don't get the shot, you're threatening all of us and so forth. Nick, I'm telling you, in a little while, we're going to be killing each other if you ain't got no damn card to show you've been vaccinated. Get away from me. It's going to divide the family. Nigga can't come to my house, nigga ain't been vaccinated.
Oh.
Can't come to our cookout. He ain't got his shots. Damn that nigga, man. Don't let that nigga in my house. You see what's happening here? Blame the one who created this thing, not your brothers and sisters who on a different plane than you, and say, I'm not taking that shot. Because I remember the Tuskegee experiment, the polio vaccinations that were cancer causing. I remember all that history and how they've been giving us all these things to kill us. I'm not running down there and taking no shot. But don't blame him. Blame whoever created COVID-19. As I said, be it God or the devil. Oh, excuse me, the white man.
Oh, all right, brother. I'm going to hold you right there. I'm going to hold you right there. All right. All right. Woo. Well, thank you, brother.
Thank you,
bro. Always bring a perspective that I can appreciate, right? You might not agree with him. You might do. I like a lot of people say I agree with him. But, hey, we have to really look at that, right? In terms of what the next steps are, I think we have to be strategic. Sometimes it don't come out right, but that's how it is. I work through it. Sometimes we have to be strategic. We're going to have to learn how to work together. How do we work through this situation, all right? And so in all of our problems, we still got a whole lot of stuff that we got to face that don't have nothing to do with what we need to work on, right? Those are external factors that inside of the world that we live in that we have to face on top of trying to regroup and reorganize and restructure. I'm going back to the lines. Great points, brother. I'm coming up on 8128. If you're ready, I'm ready to talk. If you're ready to go, 8128, it's your turn. Bring it.
How you doing, my brother?
Hey, brother, how you doing?
I'm still with the brother. The brother made a great point, you know, because, you know, I was speaking with my doctor the other day and or last week, and he was asking me about getting vaccinated, and I told him, I said, I'm going to give it 6 months to a year to see if anybody grows another arm or leg. I would just, you know, but the thing is they're right. Because they've offered this thing as a, you could win $1 million in a drawing, and they keep talking about it in this negative term, like the brother's saying. So I think we need to be mindful of that and deflate that thought pattern when it comes, because if they try to give away millions of dollars, they're making trillions of dollars off of this vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a money make. These people never did nothing in their life for free. This is a money making venture. Okay. That's why they shot it out here so quick. There was no field testing involved in it, and there's no way in hell that I'm going to take something. They come straight out of a laboratory when they do have absolutely no track record on side effects. And the side effects, then, of course, they got a new virus. You know, now they got the new strain of the virus that knocks out the old strain of the virus.
Mm.
And then, of course, the vaccination, it's just a vaccination, and it does not stay. You have to keep getting it again in order for, because it's not a cure. So, anyway. Enough of that, but the brother's right, and I think that we need to be mindful of the fact that the propaganda is talking towards people not getting vaccinated negatively, like you are some form of a criminal or culprit to something that you had, as the brother said, nothing to do with. Now, let me just move on for a quick second, brother. We were talking about the next generation of our kids, right, and
mm-hmm.
preparing them. I'm sitting here looking at some research that I had did on the Paul Robeson Malcolm X Academy. Now this is, okay, first of all, let me read what it says. Paul Robeson Malcolm X Academy is the first public school program in the United States to provide an African-centered curriculum offering grades pre-K through 8. The school was created to provide culturally responsive teaching techniques that prepare students both academically and culturally to become productive citizens of the 21st
I like
century.
That.
Through the African-centered pedagogy, students are prioritized as the center of all learning and are educated on the contributions that African people have made to the United States and the diaspora. More than 80% of the school's graduates matriculate to the district's top examination high schools.
All right.
Now, this is just one of the schools. Now, this is the pledge that these kids do every morning. We at Paul Robeson Malcolm X Academy will strive for excellence in our
mm-hmm.
quest to be the best. We'll rise above every challenge with our heads
like
held
that.
High. We'll always keep the faith when others say die. March on till victory is ours.
I like that.
This is what they decided to do. Okay. Now, and that's just one of our our schools. These are things that we ourselves must do in order for them to happen, right? If we're not homeschooling our kids, we need to be sending them to a school like this. Otherwise, we'll never get any self-respect for ourselves going to their schools. And like the brother said, you know, you're gonna let the enemy teach you how to be a good citizen? How is that possible? It's not possible, bro. You know, so our strategies, we have a blueprint. We do have blueprints, brother, all over the place. You know, we just need to dig them up and put them in place on a broader canvas.
True. All right brother. That's I got right. to hold you right there. I got to hold you right there. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Great point. Malcolm X, Paul Robeson Academy. I like that. Again, I think thinking about how again, all of the education, and that's the E and the peace concept, it's being able to understand that education really starts at home, right? Period. The foundation for every individual starts at home. And even if you don't have the money to send your child to a private school, if you don't have the resources, education is at your fingertips now. It's a different day. It's a different game, right? Now it's out there for you to take it. But you got to have the willpower, right, the effort to simply try to go and get it. And there's a standard that has to be put in place in our communities that we have to, again, use the UJIMA to build on our educational infrastructure in so many areas. So we have to improve politically. We have to improve economically. We have to improve our health and our mental health. We have to improve culturally. And then on top of that, think about it. Just dealing with some of the traumas of this society, we now have to continue to deal with deciding on, like the brother said earlier, how are we going to deal with this pandemic, right? Do I take the shot or not? Do I trust the system or do I not? Right? It's a choice now. And I think I'm just saying this. This is my opinion now only. It comes down to fear. Right? I'm not even going to religion or whether you believe God protecting you or not. If you have to decide on whether you're taking a shot, because here's the deal from what I see. And again, I'm not an expert. I'm just saying what I see. Even if you take the shot, you can still get it. If you wear a mask, it reduces your ability to get the virus. There are variants out here that continue to reproduce itself, and I don't know if that one shot covers it all. We don't know. So here's what I'm suggesting that you do. Keep a mask on. Keep socially distancing. And keep on praying for each other. And if it's out here, it's going to be out here until we decide whether everyone gets vaccinated or not. It is going to continue unless we protect ourselves from each other. That's what I said. We have to protect ourselves from each other. And that's just the truth about it. For me, right? I can't speak for nobody else. Right? I can't tell you to get the shot, not get the shot. I don't even know. I do know someone who has gotten the shot and still caught the virus, but I don't think they caught it from a person that didn't have the virus. They actually caught it from somebody who did have the injection. So there it is. I don't know. I'm gonna slip past real quickly, and I'm going over to Brother George. Brother George, if you help me out for a minute.
Yes, sir.
Brother George, are you there? Okay, let me bring you in. Real quick. Yeah. You like this kind of stuff, y'all.
Bring it! What?
Brother George like that kind of stuff. Brother George, I want to pull you in because there's a lot in this conversation. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, well, the conversation originally, you know, was about how to build, you know, a black man, you know, to answer the call that we need right now. So, I mean, it got, you know, sidetracked to the virus because that's what's going on right now. But really, you know, like I, my thing is always that that we're going to have to teach ourselves, you know, and some of us are older folks, because I remember a sister told me once, I told her I was going to work with young people. And so, you know, she was all over me because she said, like, it's a lot of the adults that need it too. Who's going to teach
them? You got that right.
And I find more and more, you know, that we have a lot of issues with our adults. You know, like yesterday I had a group that have summer jobs. And so it's my job to talk to them about life skills for like an hour a day. And then on Friday, you know, we have them all day. And so they might have a course that they do online that lasts for a couple of hours, and then I get a chance to talk about life skills. When I started talking about life skills in the recreation center, it seemed like all the black adults had something that they needed to do that made noise so that they could not focus on the DVD that I was trying to show. So I wasn't going to say anything to them, because it's like, to me, common sense dictates. Like, when you're in church, you don't come in there rattling off and making a bunch of noise when the pastor is trying to deliver the sermon. Most everybody in the church is quiet because they're trying to listen to the sermon. And so the same thing goes with when we're trying to pass on our information to our young people, where it's hard enough, you know, trying to get their attention because they've never heard this stuff before. And I know they haven't, because I asked them, I talked to them, and I asked them about what they're being taught in school and different things like that. So, and most of the time their heads is straight into their phones, you know, so it's hard enough, you know, just trying to get them away from the distraction of the phone to get some type of information into their heads that's pertinent to their development as an African American, you know. And so it's a lot of work that needs to be done, but it all starts with us, you know. And so true. That's why I try to make myself available to our people, you know, because you remember at one time we used to bring in lectures and things, you know, of that nature back in the day, and we had a full house, you know, and it seemed like it was working. But I mean, if information goes into somebody's head, it's like a seed that's planted at the very least, because they were present while that person was talking. So, I mean, you're not going to remember every single point that someone makes, but to put them in the same room with a lecturer, you know, that has a wealth of information on black history or just specifically black mathematics, or black contributions to building, you know, as like an architectural type deal. Like, when you put a person in that room, then they're going to gather some of that information, you know. And I don't want to, you know, hog the conversation for the day, but it starts there. We're going to have to educate ourselves. We're going to have to educate our young men. We're going to have to find some place where we can start offering our people to come to and participate in the same way that they did during the Garvey times and those days and during Dr. King's times. We're going to have to start setting up places that we can educate our people to what needs to be really taught to our people, you know, which will connect us back up with our historical continuity, brother.
True. Before you go,
I want to piggyback to another part of the conversation where a brother mentioned about the virus and the variant. And I know, I'm not putting you on the spot, but you fought through it.
I had it.
So I just want to get your thoughts on that particular comment.
My thoughts on the vaccine is I got the vaccine. I caught COVID, and it took me through hell. You know, it was, and it wasn't like I had a fever, or I was throwing up, or I was having chills and body aches. That wasn't even the part that I got. And I just, you know, it kept me, you know, humble for 6 weeks, you know, and so I got the vaccine. Under normal circumstances, my politics would have told me don't take the vaccine. But once I got it, I changed my mind. And so I got the vaccine. Everyone, you know, that the idea of what a person decides to do with their life, that's what they decide to do. And they have to make decisions, you know, on how this is going to work. You know, now, if you got some kind of way, because that virus is real, you know, people could say it don't exist and it ain't this and it ain't that. It's real to me because I had it. And if someone, you know, has an answer that will keep people from getting it in another way, then I salute that, you know. But my position is that you should get the vaccine. That's what my position is. I'm not standing on with making a decision for somebody else. But if it was up to me, I would recommend that all my friends get the vaccine. So,
all right.
That's my position, buddy.
There it is. Thank you, Brother George. Hey, he lived
You're
through
welcome,
it.
Sir.
Thank you, brother. So, there it is. That's a lot, right? There's so many things, right? So I'm going to try to pull it all together if I can. First thing, I'm going back to the qualities of a black man that we can build upon, and I'm going to work my way on over if I can, and then I'll go back to 9282. To build these qualities in a man, right? Again, faithfulness, dependability, kindness, his morals, his integrity. Is he patient? Is he caring? Right? Does he desire to be a dad? Is he responsible? Right? Does he have a sense of humor? Is he intelligent? Does he possess passion about something in life? And is he confident? And is he generous? Those qualities mean something in a man. Like Brother George said, to piggyback off of it, is that we have to do the work of educating ourselves. We have to do that, right? I think the brother earlier mentioned the academy, right, which is a great place to start because we're going to have to do the work of the E is educating ourselves, right? And then the last piece is the new division, right, the war between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated, right? Every man got to decide for him or every woman has to decide for herself as well the position she's going to take mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, culturally, financially, right? That deals with how you're going to relate to this world. The key for me is your choice, and I have to respect it. Now, I again say if you're not interested in taking a vaccination, just put your mask on and stay away from people. How about that? That, to me, is the easiest solution. Or if you don't want to wear a mask, be by yourself and not around people or people that you trust and they trust you. Because I know in some rural communities, they don't wear masks at all because they don't have that in their community. I got that. But if you're around a lot of people, you're going to have to be able to make some decisions that are right for you and your family and the people that are around you, period, point blank, end of discussion. So, brother said, you got to know what's inside of you. And that's where you start at, right? Our minds are the key component and the key assets to developing ourselves. Let's continue to develop our minds, our hearts, our bodies, our spirits, and our communities together. Just one day at a time. That's all we have to do. I'm going back over to 9282 now. 9282, it's your turn. It's your time. Let's get funky, baby. Out. Oh yeah, my mom liked that part. That was for you, mom. 9282. What you got?
Yes, sir, my brother. I'm first. Let me apologize because I didn't mean to kind of skim over my thoughts on how do we restructure the black man. I said we got the two greatest assets: our mind. We've got to start with us. We got to use our greatness, our minds, find the God in us, and build our own world. Not just educate ourselves, but seek to build our own world. Okay? And then the second one I said was once we build, we discover our mind, our greatness is, one of our greatness is our minds, then each other will have each other. Mm-hmm. And that's what we build on. That's how we restructure ourselves. That's how we rediscover the God in us, you know. And we also have to understand, I'm going to piggyback on what Brother George said about trying to educate us as a people. See, we're not seeking education or knowledge, most of us. We're seeking a good feeling. We want to feel good. That's what we want. We don't want knowledge or wisdom and understanding. We want a good feeling, so long as I feel good. That's why when you talk about the church, going to church, to people be quiet in church. Well, people in church being quiet because they're getting ready to be entertained in their minds. You know, you can't have no boring preacher up there teaching you anything. If you're in a black church, particularly black church, you're in a black church and your brother opened up the Bible and said, let me go to Genesis chapter 1, and he started going, well, it was day 1. And day 1, in the midst of all the darkness, God looked around and God said, you know, we're going to say, what is he talking about? Oh, man, we're going to sleep. But if he gets up there and says, it was day 1, let me tell you, y'all, it was day 1. And my God,
come on.
My God said,
come on.
Let there be some light up there. Yes, let there be some light. And then, oh, my God, you know what my God did? Oh, he put the greater light up in the sky, to let the light
in the sky.
And my God, oh, come on, can I get an amen? We get into that, but we ain't learning nothing. We've been entertained, you know. And that's what teachers have to learn to do. You got to, you know, they say know your customer in the marketing industry. You got to know your customer and package the thing, target your customer. So you got to know, okay, if I got to teach you something, I got to realize I got to present it to you in a way I got to get your attention. So you focus on me, you pay attention. Once I do that, then if I got righteousness with me, I'm going to impart some knowledge on you. But if I'm crooked myself, then I'm going to give you some bullshit once I got your attention and get you to go the way I want you to go. Okay? That's what we have to understand. When you want to deliver a message and uplift our people, educate, know who we're dealing with. And we got to put it that way. We got to tie, you know, rappers, by knowledge, with the cussing and the lyrics and all that stuff. And, you know, we used to do it back in the day. We put it in the songs. Turn off the lights, light a candle. Mm-hmm. Hey, you know what I'm talking about, you know. But that's what we're about. We want to just feel good. And we have to realize that and take that feel good and turn it into some knowledge and wisdom and understanding that we got, because we got to get the attention. And then finally, I'm going to say, brother, I like Brother George. I got the shot. I got my first shot last week. Yes, I did. I'm 2 weeks out from getting my second shot, okay? I got it because of my daughter. My daughter had been exposed several times, and she was fearful of it, and she asked me, should she get the shot, because she knew how I stood about not getting the shot. And I said, if you want to, go ahead and get the shot. In fact, I'll get it with you. And the reason I changed up, because I realized, I said, look at here. If it's something in the shot that's designed to kill black folk, okay, then I don't want to be the last nigga standing when black folks started dying from the shot. Because God knows if they start killing us as a people, I don't want to be here by myself. I don't want to be the only nigga standing back on this planet. I'd rather be dead with my people than to stay back here and say, look, because then you know I'm going to catch hell because I'll be the only nigga left. So that was my, I said, no, just, you know, just, we, you know, if that's what it is, I'd rather die. Because at that point, I would kill myself anyway, commit suicide if I had to be here by myself. I mean, we'll stick with my people. So, okay, that's where we are. But look at where we are, where we're so dependent on life from our master. You know, the vaccines, the whole thing, the virus, all of it. All of it. Like I said last week, brother, a black man can't live in a white man's world. You can't. You can't. We can't be ourselves. So that's why I'm saying not only should we uplift the black man, uplift the brother, but teach us to build our own, not integrate into this anymore. We got to look further than this. Build our own. Then if you want to come back and work with them and integrate, fine. But have something. Be together as a people and say, no, what? So if you see something you don't like, you can say, that's y'all, but we're not there with you. We gone. Right now, we're at that mercy because we have nothing, not even each other. We need to build our own. Broaden that mind. Like I said last week, look for the universe. Get it for ourselves. Come together as a people. And I don't think about getting a job or opening a business. Just be create the universe, man. That's the greatness in us. That's the God in us. That's our greatest asset, our minds and each other.
All right.
All right, brother.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that.
Thank you, brother.
Hey, and I think you would be a great, great preacher because he sure was laying it down. Thank you, brother. I like that. You all right with me. All right. Going over to 8128. Are you there?
I'm here, brother. You know,
all
right,
going on the final round. What you got?
Okay, brother, I got something that I know that you're gonna appreciate here. This is I'm going back to that Malcolm X, Paul Robeson, Malcolm X Academy. This is called school culture. Now they got a thing called Calm Classroom. Now, every morning at the Paul Robeson Malcolm X Academy starts the day with the Black National Anthem. We then move into the pledges as well as Calm Classroom. Calm Classroom is a technique in which students are able to relax by breathing, stretching, and focusing on relaxation. Teachers lead these practices 3 scheduled times a day in their classroom and are encouraged to utilize the techniques when naturally appropriate. Calm Classroom cultivates a more mindful school climate, helping students to foster attitudes of respect and kindness towards themselves and others. Then they got a situation called, you know, the Harambe and the Ujuma. Every Wednesday, it's a time when they stand outside of their classrooms, okay, and define unity. Our students gather outside their classrooms to repeat the African-American creed as well as affirmations presented, okay? So, you know, brother, we do have, like I keep saying, we got blueprints and we can transfer them into workshops and into anything else that we need to. You know, we need to start teaching our kids respect for themselves through their own culture. Like you said, through the 7 principles of Kwanzaa and through the peace concept. Okay. And I know that common technique is one of your specialties, brother. So I do know that is definitely something that is much needed, you know, because with a clear and focused and relaxed mind, you can see, like the brother said, you can build the universe.
True. All right, brother. Thank you so much for sharing. All right. That just about wraps it up for us this week. Thank you, brother. And thank you all for calling. Thank you all for listening. And for you out there, we have so much to work with and for. Life is a choice. You have so much to work with, to build upon. There are some differences, but we can overcome the differences. We have to continue to build, not only to try to build our communities and build others, but build ourselves. Life is a choice. We must learn to make the best choices in life, but also utilize the characteristics and qualities of faithfulness, dependability, kindness. Utilize our morals and integrity. Become patient, caring, and a whole lot of other things. But most importantly, be the best person that you can be today and every day. I'll talk to you next week. Peace and blessings. Have a great day.